Thank you for joining me on the Empowering C-Sections podcast with Barefoot Mama. This is special episode one. In this episode, we talk about a common OB foible and how moms deserve better. Hello, hello, belly birth warriors. It has been a while since I have been on here. So I have been trying to figure out how I can best serve C-section moms and help them feel empowered and loved and listened to. And I just had an experience today where a family member went to her OB's office for her 37-week appointment, and the amniotic fluid next to her baby's head was at 4 centimeters, and the OB said that she needed, that babies usually came at 5 centimeters of fluid near their head, so that she needed to go in and start the induction. And I was like, whoa, 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 37 weeks and you're inducing her because of what? And her husband was texting me, and I was like, you know, like, they can give you the Cytotec, because they'd already given her Cytotec. I was like, you know, they can give you the Cytotec and you can still go home, and it's going to be a pretty long labor, and you don't need Pitocin till the next morning, so just go home and get plenty of sleep and get ready for a big day tomorrow. But she wanted to stay in the hospital, and the OB was advising that she stay in the hospital, and it's during this coronavirus, you know, pandemic, so all the hospitals are on edge, and it seems like OBs just want to have some semblance of control, so they convinced her to stay in the hospital. And even her her aunt, who is an OB, they called this aunt, and she said, why are they inducing you? Like, there's no reason for them to induce you right now. You should just go home. But she decided to trust her provider and stay in the hospital. And so she did, and she got a few Cytotec pills, and then at 2 a.m. this morning, they began the Pitocin. And after she had Pitocin for a few hours, at 9 a.m, she decided to get an epidural because the pain was too much. So after that, she was only at 2 centimeters, and they'd been there for 24 hours, and she was still only at 2 centimeters, so they were starting to get a little worried. But then she, kept laboring. They, you know, kept doing the Pitocin, and at around, you know, in the afternoon, she was at 5 centimeters, and I was very excited for them. We, you know, celebrated through text and stuff. And then I checked in on them at about 10 o'clock at night, because I hadn't heard from them in a while. And I was like, hey, how are things going? And he was like, well, you know, she's been pushing for a while. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's great that she's pushing. That's so exciting. And he was like, well, she's been pushing for 2 hours. And I was like, oh, then she should stop. Like, just because she's at 10 centimeters doesn't mean she has to push. And, you know, her body probably needs a break, and she didn't get any sleep last night. So she probably, you know, you can just stop. And his next text message was, we're going to have a C-section because she had developed a fever, and the baby was too high. He wasn't descending. And every time she had a contraction, his heart rate would go down. So they decided to have a C-section. And this really, really, really broke my heart, because, like, you know, the writing was on the wall. I could feel it, that this is the direction it was going when it first started yesterday. And this provider wanted to induce her anyways at 39 weeks, for no reason than just, you know, at 39 weeks, the baby is full term, so it's safe to induce, and it's best to just plan it. And so this really, like, I bawled, guys. Like, I was crying so hard. I'm pretty sure, like, I might be more upset than the mom, but her husband was pretty upset. He said he was upset, and he tried, you know, he tried to help her and stuff, but so I guess, like, I was feeling kind of like, you know, I can't do anything. Like, what can I do to change things? And, you know, is anything I'm doing going to change anything? And is anything I'm doing going to help anyone? And then this experience happened, and it made me realize that there's a lot I can do. And I need to get this message out there that C-sections are wonderful, incredible tools, but they are intense. They should be the last resort. They shouldn't just be done helter-skelter, and women shouldn't be induced at 37 weeks if there isn't a major urgent reason to. Her fluid levels were low, so they should have told her to drink water or drink Gatorade and drink juice and eat soup, you know, to get her fluid levels back up. Like, I talked to the husband, and he did mention that, yeah, actually, she hasn't, you know, she probably does need to drink more water. She probably hasn't been keeping up on it enough. And I was like, okay, then just go home and drink water. But they were already at the hospital, and they'd already started the pills. And gosh, it was so infuriating to hear that the OBs weren't even trying to fix the problem. They just wanted to get that baby out. And so, I don't know if you guys have had similar experiences, if you felt like your C-section was rushed. I feel like, you know, this was this mom's first baby. She was excited. She probably was thrilled that she would be able to have this baby 3 weeks earlier than she was planning. And she was probably super excited to see this baby. And she didn't even know or consider the increased risks, the significant increase in risk of having a C-section due to a premature induction, and an induction that wasn't even medically necessary. So I want to be able to serve you guys. And for all the women who want to be interviewed on my podcast, I want you to keep in mind that if you need a listening ear, if you need someone to just empathize with you and to feel your pain, I'm here for you. And if you need someone to break down your birth, like, just walk through it all and see what you can do to change, or just get a different provider, and we can go through the providers and we can go through everything that happened and kind of go through the guilt and the negativity and the trauma that surrounded your experience, then I would love to do that. Like, you know, I'm just here to help and to serve, and I look forward to hearing more C-section stories. I feel like we need to get these stories out there so that, first of all, women don't feel alone. Second, so that OBs and midwives and other childbirth providers can know how women are affected by C-sections. I don't think that C-section should be painted with a doom and gloom that some mothers paint. It's like, C-sections are, you know, super awesome. Moms are super awesome. We can just live right through a C-section and it's great. But I feel like the emphasis on, oh, C-sections aren't that bad and C-sections save lives, has taken away from women's right to consent and women's right to be treated as humans and as adults that can make decisions even when they're pushing a baby out of their bodies and even when they're, you know, in birth and in labor. Also, at the same time today, I listened to the VBAC Link podcast, and in episode number 120, Marie's VBAC after two C-sections, in the beginning, they read a consent form that an OB made all of his VBAC moms sign before he would deliver them via VBAC, and it was horrendous. it was pretty much consent to abuse and assault. And it was just horrible and disgusting. And so there's stuff like that that OBs use to assert their, you know, authority and to kind of scare moms away from VBACing. And he said that even if her cervix was ripe, they would schedule her C-section at 41 weeks. And if her cervix wasn't ripe, they would schedule her C-section by 40 weeks. And that's just ridiculous because induction is definitely a safe option for VBAC moms. And especially if you do it low and slow and keep the Pitocin levels low, or even just don't use Pitocin, just put a Foley bulb and, you know, do lots of other methods to get that baby out. It doesn't always have to be medical. So yeah, if you want to go listen to that episode, that was pretty crazy. But there's just stories like this that need to be heard. And there are definitely positive C-section stories. And I'd love to hear those. And it's definitely good to hear the positive ones. We also need to hear, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we need to see how OBs and how hospitals and midwives can improve their care and help mothers feel safe and heard and taken care of. And because they're placing their lives in these providers' hands, they're trusting these care providers to give them the best care and the best information, and they are not delivering. These OBs are not delivering on their promise to take care of these moms in the best way that is possible. And some OBs don't even know the best way, so it's important to educate them on best practices. And if your OB doesn't have time to be educated right now, another very helpful thing is for the moms to be educated. And there are some courses available to help educate mothers, but sometimes it can be still a little confusing and scary, and some women can't afford to have doulas. I get so many questions about how to best prepare for birth after C-sections, and I see so much fear and confusion surrounding vaginal birth after cesareans. So this is why I'm creating courses and providing birth coaching for women who are looking to VBAC, especially after two C-sections. So if you are a mom who's had two C-sections and is interested in VBAC, let me know, and I'd love to get on a 15-minute call with you. Feel free to ask me any questions on Instagram or Facebook Messenger, and let me know how I can help you and how I can help you find the best resources for your needs. Thank you so much for listening to this special episode of the Empowering C-Sections podcast with Barefoot Mama. I have some amazing interview episodes coming up. I'm really excited to share them with you. So make sure that you're following me on Instagram, Facebook, and subscribe to this podcast to be notified as soon as the next one drops. See you next time.